If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I appreciate all of our special music today, the instrumental and the vocals. We're so blessed. It says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." This is one of those passages of Scripture that rises up to meet you as you approach it instead of passing through it, as you do with the more ordinary passages of Scripture. You stop and you draw back a bit, realizing that what is before you is the introduction of something so divinely awful and so solemn that mortals like ourselves can only hesitate and tremble. Now, this is not the only mention of books of this kind in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talks of his fellow laborers who have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I think it's plain from these passages of Scripture that God has been employing a system of bookkeeping all his own. That is, he has been writing the story of your life and mine. Some people write their own biography, some write their have friends to write it for them, but God has a better record than any man. And in his record, everything goes down. I remind you, I would have you know that one day the books will be open and you and I will be there in order to face the record of our life. Yea, the past will live again, and by it we are condemned, or we're justified. The Bible said God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Peter tells us that there is coming a time when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. In that day, Jesus Christ shall lay aside his mediatorial robe and he will stand before you as your judge. In that awful hour when the holy music of heaven is hushed, he will take the books and he will open them, and with a fearful sense of guilt, you see his piercing eyes going through you as he comes to your name. There your life is recorded, and I guess the question that we would ask ourselves, what will be written in the books? Well, let me share with you this morning what will be there. Things you should have done but you didn't do will be found in the books. A familiar story of the young soldier that was on picket duty during the Confederate War and with the states. And while he was there on picket duty, he realized that he was soon going to go home and that he would see his sweetheart. And he had saw some violets out here just a little ways from his post of duty. And he goes out and he picks the violets. Well, the Confederate spy came across the line, infiltrated, and looked around and saw that General Grant's forces was not near as big as what they had thought. So the Confederates marched against them, and they were able to defeat the North in that particular battle. And it wasn't long until this young man was found out and he was shot. Oh, not because of what he did, that is the picking of the violets, for what he didn't do. That is, he didn't guard his post. Well, the Bible tells us, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Our problem is not that we don't know what to do, but we don't always do what we know that we ought to do. I think all of us understand that it is the pastor's job to put you in remembrance of the things that you basically already know. Now, I'm sure that there might be a few things over the years that I've said that you didn't know. But most of it is just a reminding. Just remember what God has said in his book. And if I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? Amen. And if I don't tell you, I'm responsible to God for not telling you. You know, there are going to be folks going to hell because they've been fed a lie. Folks that will think that they're all right, they'll stand before God deceived. We have a lot of denominations today. A lot of denominations. Many of them are faithful. They love God just like we do. And they're going to heaven just like we are. Amen. But there are some, I'm telling you, they're not teaching the truth. And we've got to be able to discern. And the only way we can do that is open up this book and let God speak to us about what he wants us to do. Now, I know a preacher gets up here and he talks about attendance. He talks about tithes. He talks about loving one another. He talks about loving God with all of his heart. He talks about these things. But they're recorded in the Bible. Amen. You see, God reminds us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can you not see today the day of judgment is approaching? Amen. And so if there's any time that we're behooved to be faithful, it's this day in which we live. Tithing, you know, I very seldom ever say anything about tithing. It's not that, you know, we just need, well, we basically have our needs supplied through the giving of our people, and we give generously to outside causes, and I'm thankful to God for that. But I'm going to tell you, if everybody paid their tithes and they paid them on a timely basis, we'd never have a need, and we'd be such a blessing to the work of God. The Bible says a tenth. And I know we have folks that give. I give. I don't give a tenth. I give more than the tenth. I just believe that if you give generously, God will bless you. And I want to tell you, I have never been more blessed in my life than I am right now. And I am thankful to God that he has blessed me so. We're to love our neighbor. Brethren, if we, you know, we've got to love one another right here, and I know that we do. But there's a world out there that's going to hell, and we've got to love them into the kingdom. People are dying in their sins. Unprepared and unready. We've got to tell them. Got to tell them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Do you really love him this morning that way? It's the preacher's job to remind us. And I remind myself, you know, when I study and prepare, I remind myself of my responsibility. I cannot share with you until I've shared with myself. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I know that kind of busts your bubble, you know. But we're to love one another, love God, and we're to serve Him. You know what? I enjoy serving. I enjoy going and meeting with folks and talking to them about the Lord and about the church. I'm going to tell you, the most important thing in my life is God and His work. I love my wife and I love my family. But He's first. But because He's first, I have a greater capacity to love my family. Because He's first. I'm telling you, the day is going to come and it won't be long. You can take that to the bank that the Lord's going to come. Amen. He's going to rapture us out. I'm going to tell you, that'll be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to this old boy. Is to be serving the Lord, and I want to be serving Him when He calls me home. But all of a sudden, just to be taken up into heaven to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Won't that be a wonderful thing? Things that you ought to have done but you didn't do are found in the books. But things you ought not to have done will be found in the books. Your words will be there. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The words that fall carelessly and thoughtlessly from our lips are the ones that reveal the real true nature of our heart. I've told the story when I was growing up in the youth group at the Central Avenue Free Will Baptist Church. And this family came into the church and they had a shiny new car, and it was back during those days when they had those steering knobs. And they had a one-of-a-kind steering knob. Well, that car got stolen. And this young man that was also coming to our church, and he was blessed enough to have a car in those days, he had a steering knob, identical. And they just knew he stole their car. And they caused a furor in the church. The pastor, who was more than a pastor to me, he was a good friend, tried to keep peace in the family, but they were just so sure that one-of-a-kind steering knob that he stole their car. Well, about 2 days later, the police called and they found their car downtown Oklahoma City, and that steering knob was still there. You know, we need to be careful about how we judge folks. Judge not, lest you be judged. You know, we're to love one another, and we're to build up, not tear down, encourage, not destroy. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible said His words are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. You know what that tells me? Study the book, study the Word of God, and your speech will be sweet. I like that, don't you? You know, we were talking this morning. I forgot now who I was talking to, but they mentioned something about Mama said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all, you know? I like that, don't you? Yeah. All of us need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened. We need somebody to say some sweet, good things about us. Going to have a revival at the church. That first service, this lady who was the noted church gossip got under conviction. So she came down to the altar. The pastor asked her why she was there. She said, I come to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, it's 8 foot long. Use all you need. You know, we need to be faithful and loving and kind. The things that you ought not to have done will be found written in the books. The things done in the body will be there, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. You know, God's eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And he watches. Now, he does it out of a heart of love. He wants us all to make heaven our home. What did he send his son to do? To die for the sins of all the world. He wants everybody to be saved. Well, reminds me of these two old farmers. One of them was a Christian, the other was a sinner. And the old sinner man was always trying to prove that there was no God. He was an atheistic person. And so he came upon a plan how he was going to prove once and for all there is no God. He ran it by the Christian man, and he agreed. They owned land adjacent to one another, and they were to plant their crops of wheat, and they were to work it, do all that was necessary in order to have a good harvest. The Christian man was admonished to pray, to ask God to bless his crop. And the old sinner man says, I won't go to church. You go to church. You do all that a Christian is to do, but I won't. And we'll see which one has the greatest harvest. Well, the night before harvest, a big storm came up. The Christian man looked out on his fields and he saw that they were heavy laden with grain, and he was going to have an abundant harvest. The old sinner man saw the same thing on his fields. But that night it hailed. And it looked like the next morning that the Christian man didn't have a stalk standing. Looked over to the fields of the sinner man, and it looked like not a stalk had been hurt. Well, needless to say, the old sinner man won, and he was so jubilant and he was so joyful that he told everybody he met. And finally, he decided, I'll write the newspaper and I'll have them to publish this. There is no God. And the editor wrote it just like the man had sent it to him. But he put his epitaph at the end. But God doesn't settle all accounts in the month of October. And that's true. God has a day of judgment that is coming. He may not pay you at the end of the year, but he will pay you in the end. You reap what you sow. You see, a man can live in drunkenness and debauchery. He can poison his offspring by his wicked and vile example. But remember, God will settle the accounts one day. And on that day, you will face the record of your life, and you'll be overwhelmed by the awfulness of your sin. You'll be sobered by the truth that there is no escape, there is no mercy. The door of mercy has been forever shut. You remember when God sent Noah into the ark, and God shut the door. But it was 7 more days until the rains came. I believe that if they had come and knocked on that door and said, God, forgive us of our sins, he'd opened that door. 7 days were the days of probation. And after the 7 days were over, God sealed that door to where it would never be opened until he was ready to open it. And the rains came and brought death and destruction to all living on the face of the earth, save those that were in the ark. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16 that the rich man prayed in hell. He said, send Lazarus back that he might warn my brothers that they'll not come to this terrible place. You remember what he said? There's a great gulf fixed to where we can't go back there, and once they get there, they can't ever come back here. Isn't that amazing? You see, the things done in the books, you'll have to account for. What you've done in your body, you'll account for. Then the secret things will be there. In those days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, there are things about your life and mine that nobody else knows. He knows. He knows. And you know, one of these days we're just passing through, and you know, we're getting older. And if you look in the Bible, it says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. So we're just passing through, but we're rushing headlong towards death and judgment. So it behooves us to make sure we're ready. I want to be ready to meet him. You see, sin, others may not see it. You may hide it, but sin's like cancer. I remember the fellow that was eaten up with cancer in the Pine Bluff Hospital. And I'd been trying to get him to come to church, but he wouldn't come. He said, Carl, when I get out of here, I'm going to start coming to your church. And I'm going to make things right. But that cancer that started on the inside started to eat outside. And he began to have a massive sore on his stomach and side. But he kept telling me, when I get home, I'm coming to your church. Not knowing that he was never going to be able to come to church. That he was going to die. That cancer was going to take his life. And God gave him an opportunity. I believe he sent me to that man to warn him and to help him to get right, but he said no. He said no. And as far as I know, he died in his sins and went to hell because he didn't live much longer. But then the Bible talks about another book was opened. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who died for us and made it possible for us to have our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are recorded in the books, all of our shortcomings, all of our sins. But when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, he blotted all of our sins out of the books. And he wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of our sins cast in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be held against us anymore. And he gave us eternal life. You know, you're going to live somewhere forever. You say, Carl, what do you mean? We're going to die. I see the epitaphs in the paper, you know, the obituaries, and folks are dying everywhere. We die physically, but not spiritually. Brother, when you die, you're going to leave this old body that is the real living part of you, and it'll go to God who gave you life. You know, the Bible is plain. It says the soul of a man never dies, never dies. You're going to live forever. When God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, you cannot take your life. Oh, physically, you may lay it down. You may throw in the towel. You may just die a natural death, but the soul will live on. The question that we have, where is our soul going to live? I hope and pray that everybody here can say today,
preacher, I know that I know that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And if you can't, you can leave here knowing that that is the truth. If you come to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into your life and be Lord and Savior of your life, you can leave here today knowing everything is all right between me and God. Well, isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Brother, you don't have to go through life with your head down. You can have your head up and rejoicing and saying, praise God, I know where I'm going. I know that I know. Bow with me for prayer.